A major airline computer failure leaves thousands of travelers stranded. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Frustrating air travel is not just an American problem. British Airways canceled or postponed hundreds of flights this weekend due to a massive computer failure. Joining me with more on this is Andrew Walker, economics correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Andrew, where do things stand now?
Well, British Airways have acknowledged there are still 13 cancellations out of London Heathrow Airport today. Full services, though, from the other big airport in London, Gatwick. You could broadly say that as far as the airline's operations are concerned, things are getting back to normal. But there's no question that there still is an enormous amount of disruption that the passengers have suffered. And many people have had plans, holiday plans, ruined over the course of this weekend, and this is a particularly busy weekend.
What do we know about what caused all of this?
Well, British Airways have denied any suggestion that the computer system failure was the result of a cyber attack, or at least they say there's no evidence of that. And they say it was down to a power failure. Now, many observers are rather surprised by that. They take the view that the airline, indeed any business, ought to have some sort of very effective backup system in place.
So what is all of this going to cost the airline? I mean, obviously it's bad for their reputation, but it's going to cost them a lot of money too, right?
Certainly, we're talking about a figure in the tens of millions of dollars. We're talking about people claiming compensation for additional hotel accommodation, meals and so forth. And then, yes, as you say, there is the reputation. People may be more reluctant to book flights with them in future.
The BBC's Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, Kimberly.
And while we are on the topic of air travel, Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly told Fox News Sunday he's considering expanding the ban on laptops in passenger cabins to all international flights. Right now, the ban affects about 50 flights a day, mostly from cities in the Middle East. Meanwhile, many college-bound high school students and their parents are familiar with the Common Application. It's what it sounds like, a shared application accepted by hundreds of colleges. This month, the nonprofit group behind the Common App announced a new version it hopes will be more friendly to transfer students. From our education desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
More than a third of college students change schools at least once in 6 years. Yet the current transfer version of the Common Application looks a lot like the one used by high school seniors. Eric Felix with the Center for Urban Education at USC says questions about parents' occupations and education may turn some older students away.
If you are 40 and you work full time and you have potentially children yourself, it's not relevant to the individuals that are applying.
A more inclusive application could help member schools tap into a huge pool of potential students. Of this year's 1 million Common App users, only about 4% are transfer students. Jenny Ricard is CEO of the Common Application. She says just 15% of college students come straight out of high school.
And the remaining 85% include adult students, veterans, and those applying from community colleges.
Ricard says the new application should be ready to go in August of next year. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. It's a bank holiday today in the UK, so markets there are closed. American markets will be closed today as well, but in honor of Memorial Day. Japan's Nikkei closed slightly down today, just 4 points, less than a tenth of a percent. The unemployment rate for U.S. military veterans has fallen by more than 4% since 2010. That's due to a big push from the feds and corporate initiatives. While companies have done better at hiring veterans in recent years, another challenge remains: keeping them. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Tommy Diaz was looking to make a career move after graduating college in 2008. So he joined the U.S. Army and was later sent to Afghanistan. His military intelligence job included interrogating high-level Taliban members.
I just wanted to do my job right and make sure that my peers and my superiors were satisfied.
The job was high pressure, but Diaz knew it mattered. He picked up important skills. But he struggled to put those skills to work when he came home to Southern California. He got his first full-time job tracking inventory for an aircraft parts supplier.
I did that for about 10 months, but I just got bored of it. I like to say I was a cube monkey just hashing out reports, and I wanted to do more.
So he left, and he's not alone. A 2016 survey by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation found that 44% of veterans left their first post-military job within a year. Many leave because they have trouble matching military skills to job requirements or finding a sense of purpose in the job. But for many vets, the very experience of being in an office causes problems.
It just becomes kind of a minefield of how to interact with people.
Consultant Emily King is hired by companies to help integrate veteran employees. She says it's hard for them to reorient from the military way of doing things.
An attitude where the mission comes first and interpersonal communication and effectiveness come second is not usually effective in a civilian environment where they tend to pay as much attention to how you do something as to what you do.
The recent push to get companies to hire veterans has also unwittingly played into the turnover problem. Mark Brenner at Los Angeles nonprofit Veterans Career Exchange says many of these efforts value quantity of jobs over quality of jobs.
If you have to put 40 people to the work, they'll put them to work wherever they can.
So vets are thrown into jobs they're not prepared for or jobs they don't see a future in. Brenner says if we need people to volunteer to fight wars, helping them find meaningful careers when they get back is crucial. In Los Angeles, I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
And I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.